word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of the Amittai, saying, arise, Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up and flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa and found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence. From the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about this morning what happens when you leave the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about this morning the price of disobedience. The price of disobedience. When you leave the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much for your glory. And thank you this morning for allowing us this opportunity to come into your presence. It's early on a Sunday morning. God, we're in your presence. I sense your presence is already here. God, this morning we need a fresh anointing. We need a word from you this morning, Father God. Would you speak to us now? Would you open our eyes to the scripture? I pray that you would direct and navigate my step through the word of God so that we can leave here different than when we came. Would you bless us now? Would you bless us now? Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank God. Amen. Amen. What happens when you leave, thank you, the presence of God. Amen. 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 It has been said that there's no presence like God's presence. I've looked through scripture and I've searched, and in the book of Isaiah, it says that it was in the year that King Uzziah died. The writer says, that's when I saw the Lord, and his train filled the temple. His train filled the temple. The Bible says that, amen, it was so awesome. Worship was so awesome. God's presence just took over the place. I don't know about you this morning, but I've become very accustomed now to experiencing the presence of God. I believe that God's presence, because God is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at the same time, I believe that when God's presence is in the place, that yokes are broken, that chains are broken, that habits are broken. I believe that we didn't get up this morning and get dressed to come here this morning to hear me preach. I believe we came here this morning to experience the presence. Come on, somebody. Amen. Experience the presence of God. I also found out that sometimes the reason that a person does not want to be in the presence of God is because there is something going on in their lives that has caused them to get to the point, amen, where they would rather sleep on Sunday mornings. Come on, somebody. They would rather rest on Tuesday evenings. They would rather stay at home on Saturday mornings rather than run to get into the presence of God. I got an illustration for you. All through scripture, I found out that David, amen, when the Bible says that he was supposed to be out at war, the Bible says he was at home laying in his bed. He was, amen, enjoying the creature comforts. And can I tell you this? Sometimes when you and I decide, amen, that we're going to take a day off, or we're going to take a week off, or we're going to take a month off, or whatever we've decided to do, I believe that that's when we become susceptible to the temptation of the flesh. I believe that Satan knows exactly. He knows exactly what he's doing. I believe that Satan operates, according to Romans 6, he operates against our flesh and the members of our body. I believe that the enemy knows that the more you get into the presence of God, the more you see yourself, the more you're transformed, the more you're trained, the more you can travail through your circumstance. I want to say this to you this morning. There's something about the presence of God that Satan knows that if you get here, amen, that he knows that your life is going to be different. And I looked at scripture and I see David in the cool of the day. The Bible says he went out on the balcony and he looked out and there it was. Come on, somebody. Do you know that when you're out of the presence of God, you are susceptible to falling to temptation? Do I have anybody? I want to tell you something. When you've become immune to the presence of God, and when you leave the presence of God, you'll find out that life sometimes will watch this, it will deal you some things, but rather than resisting temptation, you will fall into temptation, because the presence of God represents the power of God, amen, and the purity of God and the purpose of God. God knows what you need. Do I have anybody? I'm feeling my help this morning. I feel like Mayweather in the ring. Yet no, I'm just like, amen. And so what we find is that David goes out onto the balcony and he looks out and he saw Bathsheba and he gave in to his temptation. Why? Because David was supposed to be on the battlefield. Come on, I'm talking to somebody here. Listen, when you get off the battlefield for God, when you get off to see, because let me tell you this, before they went into battle, what they would do is they would prepare themselves with a praise. In other words, they would prepare themselves by being in the presence of God, amen, before they go to battle. Let me ask you a question, amen. Before you face your day every day, before you face life's obstacles, are you in the presence of God? Can you praise God, amen, before your breakthrough? You see, what happens sometimes is that the presence of God, we can become so accustomed to it, amen, that sometimes we become too common with it. We can become too common with the presence of God, where we start treating God like a man. Do I have anybody? And then I found that in Genesis chapter 3, we find that after Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, we find that the Bible says that God came walking, listen to this, in the cool of the day. Come on, somebody. He comes walking because God had regular fellowship with his people, with the two people that he created. So what does that tell us? Tells us that from the beginning of man, from when God created man, that God created us, come on, somebody, to enjoy his presence. To enjoy being in his presence. But can I tell you something? There's a price to pay. There's a price to pay for being disobedient to God. There's a price to pay when you leave the presence of God. And I don't know about you this morning. Amen. But I want to live out the plan that God has for me. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, if you look at it with me, it says, the word of the Lord. You see, when you're in the presence of God, you can get a word from God. You need to write that down. When I'm in the presence of God, I can get a word from the Lord. Doesn't matter what I'm going through this morning. Doesn't matter what life may look like this morning. The question is, do you have a word from the Lord? And let me say this to you. God is so interested in you this morning that he sent a word for you this morning in the midst of what you're going through. Are you with me? The text says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. He's considered a minor prophet. Amen. But Jonah had some issues going on in his life. Jonah had some stuff in his heart that he just could not get out. And Jonah, amen, was, number one, he was called of God. And so here's the thing. Not only will you have a, when you're in the presence of God, will you get a word from God, but when you're in the presence of God, you will get your call from God. Do I have anybody? You'll get your call from God, and when you get the call of God, you can, watch this, you can then begin to live on purpose. Somebody here is trying to figure it out. But listen, the more time we spend in the presence of God, the more we will understand our true calling. Do I have anybody? The text says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of the Ammonite. Amen. Saying, watch what he says. Number two, verse two, he says, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it. In other words, God was saying to Jonah, I got a purpose for you. I got a plan for you. I want you to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was a city like Las Vegas. See, here's the thing. Jonah knew how corrupt Nineveh was. Jonah knew how wicked these people were. Are you with me? But here's the thing about this. The one thing about God, when you're in his presence, he will call you, amen, to go to places where you really don't want to go. Do I have anybody? Listen, God knows the true condition of man. God knows. I just talked to a missionary group that went to spring break. They went down to Orlando. And what they did out there during this time is that, you know, while all the spring breakers were out there doing their thing, they were out there witnessing. They were out there sharing their faith. They were out there, amen, praying for people. They were out there, amen, doing stuff in the midst of an evil, wicked generation, amen. They were out there doing the work of God. See, here's the thing. When you are called by God, amen, it's not going to be a call to comfort. Come on, somebody. It's going to be a call to cry out, but a call, amen, that sometimes comes with a price. Do I have anybody? And I say this to you. You're going to need the presence of God, amen, if you're going to face the things that God has called you to do. You see, God, if he calls you to go to this great city, and if he calls you to bring this great message, you and I have to be ready, because without the presence of God, we will not be effective in what we do. Can I ask you something? How effective have you been without his presence? You see, God called this man. In spite of Jonah's insecurities and his prejudice, and in spite of his makeup, because God knows all of us, God shows us that he can use anybody. And the fact that God has chosen me, has chosen you. Come on, somebody. If you are on God's program, you ought to say thank you. Because guess what? You and I could be on Satan's agenda. We can be on his program, doing his work, doing his will. But thanks be to God that he saved us. Come on, somebody. That he called us to cry out. Because look what the text says. The text says, for their wickedness has come up before me. God is saying, I'm calling you to go talk to some people who don't really want to know about me. And can I tell you what happens to a lot of believers today? Because of rejection, Amen. Because of how we feel, we put our personal feelings into it. Amen. We start negotiating with God. But do you remember the day that God found you? Do you remember the day that God transformed your life? Do you remember, amen, when he stepped down and he caught you right where you were? And listen, he changed you. He called you, amen, and he gave you a word. Text says, go out to that city. This city of Nineveh. It was 500 miles from where he was. This city of Nineveh refers to pride that he's talking about here, or the wickedness that he's talking about in Nineveh refers to Nineveh's pride, Nineveh's greed, Nineveh's brutality, and Nineveh's adultery. Can I tell you something? It tells you something, that when we leave the presence of God, that's all the world has to offer. But God is calling you and I to be that one who's going to cry out. Come on, somebody. Not to be the one to conform to the world, but be the one who can transform the world. Are you with me? And sometimes it seems unreasonable what God is us to do. Come on, somebody. Pastor, we got to be here on when? Saturday. We got to be here on Monday. We got to be. You see, it seems unreasonable what God is asking of you. But can I tell you something? There's no presence like God's presence. But listen, but there's a price that you pay when you leave the presence of God. Watch the text. Check says in verse 3, it says, but Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, it says, but Jonah arose. I'm sorry, Jonah rose up and he flee to what? To Tarshish. What happened, Jonah? What happened? Pastor, it's just too much. It's too much to do. It's too much. I'm called to do so much. Listen, God called you. And if God called you to do something, you got to do it. Because watch this. It's expensive to leave the presence of God. You may want to write that down. It's very expensive to leave the presence of God. You get paid on Friday. You're broke on Friday evening. Come on, somebody. And watch the text. The text says he got up, but he went to Tarshish. Tarshish was in the total opposite direction from where God had sent him, or where God was trying to get him to go. Listen, the word Tarshish represents a distant place. And sometimes, when you have tasted the goodness of God, and not only did you taste the goodness of God, but sometimes the enemy will try to convince you, because it's getting hard serving God. It's getting tough. It's getting difficult. I got to go talk to these wicked people. I got to deal with all of this stuff. God, sometimes it looks hard what God is asking you to do. But let me tell you something. If you do it with the presence of God with you, you will succeed. Do I have anybody? The text says, whoo, thank you, Jesus. He got up. Can I ask you this morning? Are you fleeing? Are you running? Are you hiding? Are you drawing back? Listen, here's a question. If God thought enough of you to call you, come on, somebody. Don't you think he can take care of you? Don't you think that he knew it was going to get hard? What was Jonah's issue? Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. That was his issue. He was prejudiced in a sense. Because even after God delivered them by his mouth, he still was upset. But I say this to you this morning. There's a price to pay when you leave the presence of God. Look at the text. Text says, watch this. Text says, and he fled to Tarshish. He rose up to flee to Tarshish. So here's the thing. It was premeditated. It was pre-planned. And watch this. He just did not want to do what God had called him to do. Can I ask you a question this morning? Can I ask you this question this morning? What is God calling you to do? Amen. And here's the other question I have for you. Are you willing to do what he's called you to do? Are you willing to do it no matter how hard it may seem? Are you willing to do it, amen, in spite of what you see right now? Because there's something about the presence of God. When God's presence is with you, when God steps in, come on somebody, when you experience something as supernatural as his presence, I'm going somewhere. When God starts infiltrating your life and God starts changing your mind and he starts changing your thoughts and he starts changing your motivation and he starts changing where you go and how you do it, and when he starts moving in your life and you start seeing stuff change, can I tell you something? It's powerful. It's good when we're at the top.
Yeah, come on now.
But when we get to the bottom, that's when you got to search for his presence. But can I tell you something? You're going to have to look far when you hit the bottom. But may I say this to you? If you've already premeditated, amen, that I'm fleeing, watch what the text says. He says, and he rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let me say this to you. Why would you not want to be in the presence of God? That's a question I got to ask you. Why would you not want to be where God wants you? There's a price to pay when you leave the presence of God. Saints, watch this. Watch the text. He wanted to get away from God's presence. Can I ask you this? What would move us to that place? Sin causes us to not want to be in the presence of God. Listen, if you have a hard time coming into the presence of God, something is going on in your life. Disobedience causes you to not want to be in the presence of God. Are you with me? Watch this, watch this. Pride can cause you to not want to be in the presence of God. Your ego, which is etching God out, amen, will cause you not to want to be in the presence of God. You see, there's something strange when you don't want to be in the presence of God. And I believe, saints, that God wants you to hear this morning so that you can make up in your mind that the moment that you start feeling like I don't want to be in his presence, that you better recognize that Satan is trying to take you out. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 3. Watch the rest of the text. Here's what happens when you leave the presence of God. The next part of that verse. So when you leave the presence of God, watch what happens. So he went down. Stop right there. When you leave the presence of God, everything is going to go downhill from there on out. The text says, watch this now. Watch this now. He went from up to down. He went from up to down. Where he was a good place. You ever been in that good place? You know, your good place with God, your prayer life is good. Everything's out. Then the storm start raging. Then your prayer life get a little bit weak. You miss one day. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody. You miss another day. Amen. You know what I mean? You skip that day, then you make up the next day. You understand? You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, you find yourself going down. You see, that's one of the consequences of leaving God's presence. You go down. Here's the next part of that verse. Look what it says next. Whew, thank you, Jesus. He says he went down to Joppa. So here's another thing you got to know. That when you leave the presence of God, you will end up in places where you're not supposed to be. The places that you used to turn your nose up at will be the places that you want to be at. The places that you didn't want to be before, not what you used to say, I ain't going to be like them. But now, because, see, this is why I'm saying the presence of God is powerful. And when God's presence take over your life, and when you got to get accustomed to being in his presence, listen, you will want to be where he wants you to be. Do I have anybody? Anybody here want to be in his presence? Come on, come on. You really want to be in his presence. You want to experience something. Amen. Watch the text. It says, and I'm almost done. He went down. I got to finish. He went down to Joppa. But watch the text now. And watch what he said. He found a ship which was going to what? Tarshish. And what did he do, y'all? He paid the what? So here's the next thing I want to give you. When you leave the presence of God, it's going to be very expensive when you leave the presence of God. If you think you're not tithing now and you're getting away with it, okay, and you think life is tough now, when you actually leave the presence of God, oh, it's going to be expensive. You see, why would you pay to leave God's presence? Adam and Eve, they paid a price. Everyone that has left the presence of God, David paid the price. Abram, when God told him, listen, when he went in and he lied and said, no, this ain't my wife, this is my sister, and he was wet. Watch this. God did not tell him to leave the famine. He left the famine and he went into enemy's territory and he stayed there. He was not where God told him to be, because watch this. If God caused the famine, God can give you the strength to make it through the famine. But you have to have a level of trust, and you have to understand that whenever God's presence is, he will guide you and direct you to where you need to be. I'm preaching to myself. It's okay. I got it. I'm helping me this morning. Amen. He says he paid the fare. Y'all should have shouted right there. He paid the fare. The price was high. It was expensive to leave the presence of God. It cost you something. It cost you your relationship with him. It will, listen, your marriage will fall apart. Come on, somebody. Your children will start acting crazy. Amen. Folk will start walking away from you. Listen, and then when you go to the job, they can tell you ain't been nowhere close to God. And watch the text. The text says he paid the fare, and watch this. Not only did he get on the boat, but he went down into it. Watch this. And to go with them to Tarshish. Now watch this. When he went into the boat, he did not go. He paid the fare. Watch this. But he didn't go into one of the luxury rooms. He went down into the belly of the ship. Jonah is experiencing Watch this. He's a man with a made up mind. And there's a price when you disobey God. And watch this. And unbeknownst to him, he is financing his demise. And he couldn't even enjoy the boat trip because he was down where all the coals were. And he was down in the belly of the ship, because soon he will be in the belly of the fish. You with me? Watch the text. The text says, watch this. It says, and he went down into it. Watch this. To Tarshish. Look at this. From. Twice. This is deep. God's calling you to do something. And you hit a bump in the road. And yeah, life starts getting real tough. And before you know it, you don't even see that you're not in the presence of God. If you're not where you're supposed to be, then you know definitely that's not where I'm supposed to be. Then you know God is not there with you. Listen, God is not going with you in your mess. Woo. And God is not going to agree with your disobedience. But we self-inflict ourselves. We put this self-infliction upon ourselves when we leave the presence of the Lord. Let me show you what else happens when you leave the presence of God. Verse 4. When you leave the presence of God, saints, you bring storms upon your life. Some storms are self-generated. In other words, here's what we've done. We've moved God to a place where he got to act like a father now. With a rod, not a hook. Watch the text. Text says, the Lord hurled a great wind. Woo, on the sea. And there was a great storm. Can I ask you something today? You're in the storm? Because if you're in the storm, you got to ask yourself a question. Is this one that I brought on me? Or is this one for my testing? Or is this one for, amen, for my disobedience? Watch the text. Y'all got quiet on me, boy. Huh? Whew, I can hear a church mouse run around. Watch what you say. The Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a what? Now notice, a listen, when you're not in the presence of God, don't you know you're affecting your children? Don't you know you're affecting your family members? Don't you know you're affecting everybody around you? Listen, God says be obedient. Or else the storms. It says the Lord hurled the wind and the great storm on the sea, so the ship was about to what? Break up. Listen, you're saying to yourself right now, the ship is breaking up. What you gonna do? Everything is falling apart. But everything is falling apart not because it should be falling apart. It's because we left the presence of God. This is self-inflicted. Car is broke. You can't get along with nobody at work. You just can't see your way. Everything keeps going in sequence. But yet, we have not yet stopped for a moment and said, did I leave the presence of God? Now, some of it is for testing. But watch what it says. Then the soldiers became afraid. And watch this now. And every man cried out to his God. So watch this. Jonah got on the boat with some unbelievers. Everybody on that boat had a different God. And sometimes when you've left the presence of God, you start hanging with people who got little g gods. And they're calling on that God. And they're not getting any help. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Listen, listen. You better be careful who you riding with. Hello, somebody. Look what it says. And they called on their God, and they threw the cargo which was in the ship. See the type of trouble one man brought on a whole ship? All because he did not want to be, well, actually, he didn't want to obey God, but also he left the presence of God. That's what happens when you leave the presence of God. The text says, and I'm coming to close, because I want to show you what happened to Jonah here. Watch the text. The text says, and they were throwing the cargo which was in the sea, which was in the ship, into the sea to lighten it. Listen, no matter what you've done, you could try to lighten the load all you want. See, this right here, this verse right, this piece of passage, what it's talking about is about how when we mess up things for other people in our lives and even our lives, that here we are, we can't afford a mechanic, so guess what we're going to do? We're going to try to fix it ourselves. We're going to try to put things together. We're going to try to lighten the load. We're going to try to stop the storm. We're going to try to patch everything up. But guess what? It will not work until you get back into the presence of God. That's powerful. They're lightening their load. Watch this. And the next verse says, lighten it for them. But watch what the text says. But Jonah, see, this is what happens when you leave the presence of God. You're disconcerned and disconnected from everything and everybody. You don't care what your disobedience has caused. Look what he did. Look what he did. See, some people, when they say they're depressed, I don't feel sorry for them. You know why? Because they brought it on themselves. Watch the text. When you leave the presence of God, you're going to be tired all the time. Sleepy. Got no energy. Nothing. Can't do nothing. Can't do nothing. Watch what he did. Is this making sense? I got 3 minutes and I'm... He says, but Jonah had gone where? Into the hold of the ship and laid down. When you leave the presence of God and you're living in disobedience to God, the only thing you want to do is sleep. Because guess what? You'll be miserable. Miserable. Laying in the presence. Listen, stuff is falling apart and you sleep. You used to praise God. You used to lift your hands. You used to be active. You used to be involved. You used to be where, listen, you used to be vibrant. You used to listen when the preacher was preaching. You used to do all of that. But now you're asleep in the bottom of the ship. The ship that's breaking apart.
Oh my gosh.
The ship that's falling apart. And yet you think it's normal to sleep. Now you know that's insanity. When you see your marriage falling apart, Come on, somebody. And you just fall asleep on it. When you see your single life falling apart, you're sleeping with this person and you're sleeping with that person and you're moving around all over the place and you don't think there's nothing wrong with it. And all you want to do is sleep. I don't want to go to church today. I want to sleep. It's a price to pay. And all of this was brought on. Well, listen, then guess what we do? We blame God. But watch what he says. Watch what he says. So the captain approached him. Somebody got to approach him. Somebody got to approach you and say, hey, listen, hey, hello. We are dying here. Look what he says. He said, how is it? It's an emphatic question. This is the same thing that Paul was saying in Romans chapter 6, verse 2. How can you who died to sin still live in it? How can you sleep? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Get up. Call on your God. See, he was at the point of suicide. He was at the point of hopelessness. He was at the point he didn't even care. Matter of fact, do what you do. I'll sleep my way out of this. The text says, he says, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish. Is that deep? He says, perhaps your God, your little God. See, because they didn't know his God. But here's a man. Oh, I'm finna close. I'm finna shut it down. Here's a man that knew Elohim. He knew Yahweh. He had experience. He was a prophet of God. And here he is. Somebody else has to come and witness to him and say, didn't you used to go to church? Didn't you used to praise God? Didn't you used to be there? Didn't you used to do stuff for God? Listen, we are sinking. Can we try, oh God? That's what happens when you leave the presence of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word.